Good morning, dear friends. I want to address a particular example of cooperation today, and a particular example of connecting communities of discourse. And I want to give you some information about what may be new to some of you, an initiative for a United Nations decade for interreligious and intercultural dialogue, understanding, and cooperation for peace. I start by expressing my deep gratitude and admiration for the contribution of these international law and religion symposia at Brigham Young University, and in particular, the inspiring leadership and guidance of Professor Cole Durham Jr. Among his many contributions, he gave invaluable help to my own 110-year-old non-governmental organization, which, drawing people from all the faiths of the world, was evolving, and is still evolving, a code of ethics for religious responsibilities to protect and implement the fundamental right for freedom of religion or belief. We can't have rights without responsibilities. Now, in addressing the challenge of this symposium to connect, I understand E.M. Forster's famous injunction, "only connect," to mean that cooperation is essential rather than just simple and easy. The dialogue must be intentional and productive and not just automatic or decorative. There have been too many expressions of goodwill and even solemn conventions of mutual protection which have remained dead letters. There have been too many declarations, even the 1981 United Nations Declaration on the Elimination of All Forms of Intolerance and Discrimination Based on Religion or Belief, which have received lip service by governments and by society and have not been implemented. Now, at the 20th anniversary of that famous 1981 Declaration of the United Nations, the UN Special Rapporteur on the Freedom of Religion or Belief, together with the government of Spain, held an international consultation on religious education in schools as a preventive measure to combat intolerance and discrimination. And NGOs, such as the one that I served, helped in the preparation and the follow-up of that conference. For example, we had regional meetings on four continents to promote interfaith learning and respect. We've been encouraged as NGOs based in Geneva and based in New York to strengthen our cooperation in committees made up of the different organizations. And we've taken up practical measures, education for tolerance, in the context of human rights education, truthful, respectful approaches to education about world's religions. We followed up the Special Rapporteur's study on the role of religions and cultures on the status of women, sometimes good, but sometimes very bad. And we've tried to follow up the way in which the freedom of religion and belief issue has been highlighted in the new United Nations Human Rights Council universal periodic review of each country, one after another. In this concern, I want to pay tribute to the work of George and Catherine Jarvis. They don't seem to have arrived yet, but they and their interns have done wonderful work with our NGO committees in keeping this issue before governments and before other NGOs. Now, this is a very explicit place where religion is recognized in the UN system, the United Nations High Commission for Human Rights. And given this explicit and long-term recognition by a UN body of the relevance and the need for religious dialogue in promoting peace and justice. A number of religious, interreligious, and value-based NGOs have been emboldened to seek a more permanent forum where the UN can take up issues of cooperation, but also tensions between religions and cultures. At the same time, the UN has been establishing the Alliance of Civilizations. Notice the word civilizations. They didn't dare to call it religions. And UNESCO has been emerging from a long-term taboo to even address the word religion, even in the context of culture. And UNESCO has slowly been sneaking in some references to religion and some programs. The time thus seems propitious to make an intentional bid to connect, to right the issue of specifically interreligious and intercultural dialogue more firmly into the UN agenda. Now, rather than just advocating for a new interreligious advisory commission, a forum, or a program within UN structures, as had been abortively and perhaps impatiently suggested at the Millennium Spiritual Summit some 10 years ago, an idea has emerged of advocating a UN decade for interreligious and intercultural dialogue, understanding and cooperation for peace from 2011 to 2020. In 2010, the existing UN Decade for a Culture of Peace for the Children of the World will formally end. Lessons can be learned that such decades are not just formal or celebratory events, but they should lead to active tripartite cooperation and action between governments, UN agencies, and civil society organizations, including religions. Although we're advocating a UN decade, this is not something that is just to be handed over to a UN agency. This is something where there should be equal possession and partnership by governments, by agencies, UN agencies, and the NGOs. Now, the proposed decade has already been noted in November last year, 2008, in the session of the General Assembly, and a formal resolution has already been passed asking governments to examine the idea of a decade. Those of you who want to have the document can Google UN documentation of the General Assembly, and the reference is A/RES/63/22. And it's in paragraph 8 that there is this explicit mention that governments should be asked to examine the idea of a decade. And as we speak now, the Secretary General is circulating governments with his report on the forthcoming General Assembly. And it's expected that he will refer to the many positive governmental answers which have been received in favour of such a decade. Now, it remains to be seen whether a particular government or a group of governments will then table a new resolution this year to authorise the launching of such a decade in 2011, and thereby provide a framework for enhanced cooperation between governments, UN agencies, and civil society organisations. There are potential and much needed areas of either continuing or new cooperation in the implementation of the Millennium Development Goals, in respect for all human rights, not just the protection of freedom of religion or belief, all human rights being interconnected. Cooperation in humanitarian fields, such as the needs of refugees and migrants, addressing population issues, addressing environmental issues and the list can go on. Now, so far, I've described diplomatic efforts to achieve the designation of a UN decade. But that's not just a goal in itself. That's not the purpose of making this initiative. Already there are tripartite meetings between governments, agencies, and NGOs, both in New York and Geneva, within which religiously based NGOs play a significant part. But long-term cooperation, rather than competition, needs to be focused on specific areas and possibilities for working together. A day for dialogue or a year for dialogue is not enough. We need a long-term process such as a decade. And the past has shown that such decades can then lead to long-term commitments and structures within the UN. The theme of the last assembly of the Conference of NGOs in consultative status with ECOSOC, the Economic and Social Council, was moving from consultation, our official status, to partnership. And there are already many examples in UN programs, for example, related to refugees, related to population issues, related to humanitarian needs, where such partnership actually already exists with NGOs, including religiously based NGOs. But there are also many other areas of UN work where a more interactive approach with civil society and a more serious and creative, not just consultative relationship, but partnership with NGOs is needed. I remind you that the former Secretary General Kofi Annan kept on telling us that the UN Charter is not in the name of the governments, it's in the name of we the people, and that even the Charter provides participation by civil society. And so it's for civil society partners, not least in academia and in religious and value-based organizations, to demonstrate their credibility and responsibility for critical accompaniment of a wide range of United Nations programs. The proposed decade could be a useful incentive and vehicle for such cooperation and partnership. And even if the time is not seen as ripe by the governments for an official UN decade, I believe there's sufficient energy among like-minded civil society organizations to launch our own decade. I think that would mean lost opportunities, both for the UN and for ourselves. But we don't just depend upon the governments. Accordingly, I say it's desirable that in these very coming months, now in October, soon in November, we do as much lobbying of our governments as is possible, not least in national capitals, to secure that this year's United Nations General Assembly sponsorship and adoption of a resolution in favor of the UN Decade for Interreligious and Intercultural Dialogue, Understanding and Cooperation for Peace will go through and can be achieved 2011 to 2020. How do we do this lobbying? Some academic and religious bodies are not yet accredited, either with the Department of Public Information or with the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations. But there's official encouragement, not only for international, but also for regional and national NGOs to apply for such accreditation. And numbers have grown rapidly in recent years. It's true that there's a danger that this generous policy of extension may have allowed admittance of some organizations that are not truly independent of government control, and that some groups that are self-serving rather than dedicated to cooperation. But the great majority of civil society NGOs are independent and are altruistic, as well as often being very practical in their humanitarian and human rights activities. The proposed decade could further encourage groups that are working in isolation or even under oppression, to find support and to contribute their achievements. Dialogue, understanding, and cooperation require academic preparation and critique. But these need not be ends in themselves and can lead to transforming actions, overcoming tensions and prejudices, even helping to mitigate conflict and violence. As the UN and its member governments, sometimes belatedly, make explicit recognition of the relevance of religion and culture, both for good and for bad, in building peace and justice, it's vital that the adherents of religions and cultures should themselves demonstrate a readiness to be self-critical about obstructions and oppressions perpetrated in both past and present, often against the very precepts they preach or the values they purport to promote. But as well as self-criticism, we can also be confident and determined to work together, to do better together what we have so long done separately. In this brief presentation that I have made, I have recounted a number of diplomatic initiatives and a number of ways in which NGOs are supporting and lobbying. But before ending, I want to share some important entry points where we, representing organizations, can make a contribution, whether we're international, regional, or local organizations or religious bodies. Those of us who want to support the idea of a decade have already created a coalition for the initiative for the decade. And some 60 organizations and religious bodies and inter-religious bodies are already in this coalition. Nearly 30 of them have made formal engagements. And this is, remember, a very inter-religious body. What finance we've used so far has been drawn from at least 8 different religious sources and different religions. It's not just one organization pushing it. It's a very collective effort. We've had these meetings in Geneva and in New York with up to 60 participants from organizations, but also a significant number of governments who have come to observe the meetings, and also representatives of UN agencies. And now, as we speak, with this process going on in New York, preparing possibly a resolution for the General Assembly, the final moment of our preparation is geared to the forthcoming Parliament of the World's Religions in Melbourne at the very beginning of December this year. And we hope that especially if the governments have already made and passed a resolution at the General Assembly, then we in the non-governmental civil society and religious communities can respond immediately by saying, we're on board, we're ready to go with you to launch this organization. And my final word is a sort of appeal to some of you to consider whether your organizations can be part of this. The very final word is to give you the website so that you can look up for yourself for much more detail than I've been able to compress into this 20 minutes. And the website is very easy, www.faithdecadeforpeace, one word, faithdecadeforpeace.net. There you'll have the details. And there you'll have the invitation to make your engagements to be part of this process of connection and cooperation. Thank you very much.